The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to the latest shift of the Ice Time podcast. This is Mike Harrington at BuffaloNews.com, news sports columnist, joined as always by Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay. We're in the break between games one and two of the second round. And Rachel, the Sabres take the early jump on the Montreal Canadiens with a 4-2 win in KeyBank Center on Wednesday night. Game two coming on Friday night. We're going to look back, and then we're going to look ahead here. A 4-2 win. The Sabres get that early jump, a couple early goals. The power play, holy cow, stop the press.
Finally.
Power play scores twice. What were your initial takeaways of a very different kind of game than we saw against the Boston Bruins?
The power play, you touched on that first off. Finished 2-for-3. They had gone through, 1-for-24 drought in the six-game series against Boston. They had that so close goal against Boston. Josh Doan scored 2 seconds after a bench minor to Boston expired.
But it doesn't count. It's still a zero,
Lindy Ruff. But no, Lindy Ruff said, I'm counted as a power play goal. I said, all right, Lindy, do your thing. But it was so close. It was, you can't score. Even I said to you on the first power play on Wednesday night, Sabres first power play, I said, they can't set anything up. Next thing you know, they're coming through. Bowen Byron gets a goal. Ryan McLeod gets a power play goal. You get a power play goal. You get it. It wasn't like that. But that's how it felt after such a long drought without a man advantage goal. So that was my first impression, was, all right, power play is finally finding its legs. The power play is finally surgically picking apart the Montreal Canadiens. My second thought was, God, the Canadiens just looked disorganized and disheveled in those first 20 minutes. It wasn't until they got their first goal that they finally settled down and it was, okay, maybe we can hang with these guys as well. Even Jakub Dobesh was literally flailing in goal. And your goalie has to be your most composed guy on the ice as well. My third thought was the Sabres' third line. Talk about a trio. I call them the 699 line, 6991. Josh Doan at right wing, Josh Norris at center, and Zach Benson at left wing. They just keep proving their value. And I think they are going to be, and they have been, the X factor in the playoffs so far.
You know, the one thing that jumped out at me, and Lindy talked about it on Thursday, the power play goals were both scored by the second unit. The top power play unit struggled mightily, run by Rasmus Dahlin with Thompson and Tuck and so on. And they were off the ice in that first power play in the first minute after 55 seconds, never established anything. Both goals by the second unit. So you got to get your top unit together here. The other thing to me is, you're right. I mean, depth scoring. And we're seeing Zach Benson emerge as a major figure in the Stanley Cup playoffs. First of all, people like the Brad Marchand comparisons. They like the little rat in him. They like that he's short. They like that he's
a young
funny.
Man's Brad Marchand.
Right. They like that he's funny on the podium. So Zach Benson has kind of become a story on his own, and so has Josh Doan. Certainly the trade for J.J. Paterka from Utah in the summer, but, you know, so many of these national media types have had long-standing relationships with Shane Doan. He was Mr. Arizona for so long, and now he ended up in the front office of the Toronto Maple Leafs until John Shaika is apparently excommunicating him quickly here, that I think Josh Doan really resonates with people. So the Sabres are not necessarily getting major contributions from their top players in recent games, but they're getting a lot of offense. Here's another game where they scored 4 goals. They broke their 2-game losing streak at home. Alex Lyon outplayed Jakub Dobish in game one. And that's a lot of positives for one night here. But I think we're thinking about game two going, okay, Marty San Luis says his teams can get better. Lindy Ruff said his team can get better. When you look at game two Friday night, we're going to go talk about the news of the week here momentarily. Let's go right to game two for a second.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your local source for windows, doors, and siding. Window installation started just $389 with a lifetime warranty on parts and labor. Our streamlined process delivers the fastest installation in just 5 to 7 weeks. From consultation to cleanup, our pros make it easy, affordable, and built to last. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com to get started today. Express Windows. Value, speed, and craftsmanship for every home.
What do you think about the Montreal Canadiens in terms of putting together a better performance against the Sabres in Game 2? What do they need to do? What do you expect them to do?
They have to be composed in those first 15 to 20 minutes. I didn't like how they played against Buffalo. I mean, people are going to say, oh, well, they played a Game 7 on Sunday. But they stayed in Florida.
Too many pina coladas.
Down in Florida. Palm trees. Yep. You got the palm trees. So you got your palm trees. You have to come to New York for them. They stayed there. They were in Florida. They flew in Tuesday night. You expect them to roll out of bed Wednesday morning and be ready to go. You know, some people will say, oh, well, you know, it's rigorous travel, 7-game series. I'm like, no. This is what, beginning of May, the eight teams that are left, you show up and you have to be on the ball from the drop of the puck, even beforehand as well. And Mike, you brought up a good point as well, too. The Canadians need to find a way to match the Sabres' depth, not just at even strength, but the power play as well. I mean, that is a pretty great gift, for lack of a better term, weapon. I don't like using the war terms, but the Sabres have that second unit can step in and produce on the man advantage. Montreal's penalty killers have to step up for the challenge as well, too. That's the Montreal Canadiens ultimately, overall, have to be much better prepared. To me, they did not look prepared. The Sabres just came out and took it right to them, and they did not know what to expect. And that's what the Sabres need to do again in Game 2.
And the Canadiens, to me, and I've said this before the series started, they're very top-heavy with that top line. With Nick Suzuki, between Cole Caulfield and Juraj Slafkovský, and lovely power play goal by Suzuki. Great pass from Slafkovský. Got the Canadiens back to 2-1 late in the first period. But Cole Caulfield, again, you know, I used the term in the last year. Cole Caulfield's a milk carton guy right now. He's missing.
Where was he?
No factor in the game last night whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of concern in the Montreal camp about Cole Caulfield. 51 goals in the regular season. Nothing doing against Tampa. Really a zero in this game one as well. The Sabres know they have to really pay attention to that top line. They know that the speed is going to be there, and they know they're going to get a little more offense. The other guy who really, right from the hop, trouble was Lane Hutson last night. I mean, geez, he wipes out, creates
wipes
the first
out.
Goal
that,
on
that
the 3-on-1.
Set up the first goal, yeah.
Yeah.
And just Lane Hutson, Calder Trophy winner? No, it was just a bad check. Another sign the Canadians were not mentally prepared to start this. That is going to be their X factor. Are you going to show up? Are you going to be ready?
And I was really curious to see how Dobish was going to look here. Because all the talk going into the Boston series was naturally about Jeremy Swayman and against Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who ended up being against Alex Lyon. And Dobish, just a tremendous series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, a rookie. And I said on our earlier podcast a couple days ago, I'm not knighting him the next Ken Dryden or the next Patrick Waugh. I kind of felt he was a little more Yaroslav Halak circa 2010 for my taste. Mm-hmm. And we saw that in game one. It wasn't a terrible game from Dobish at all. You know, which goal should he have stopped? Maybe the Greenway shot, but even Kozak was doing a flash screen there. He only got a piece of it with the glove. So there wasn't a terrible goal, but he just didn't really stand out. I mean, the Canadians in this game, remember, outshot the Sabres 28-16. Dobish gave up 4 goals and 16 shots. The Sabres had 1 shot on goal in the third period. They were just basically getting this game to the garage, as they like to say. Alex Lyon, right now, is one of the two best goalies in the playoffs. It's Freddie Anderson in Carolina and Alex Lyon in Buffalo, and right now they have the edge in goal.
And, Mike, when the Sabres signed Alex Lyon in July, would you have ever in a million years thought Alex Lyon is one of the best goaltenders of the 2026 playoffs? Would you ever have thought you'd be saying that on May 7th, 2026?
Well, first of all, I didn't think I'd be talking about Alex Lyon in the 2026 playoffs, because that would mean
the Sabres. You'd be talking about the 2026 playoffs.
Right, that would mean the Sabres are in them, for one thing. But Alex Lyon has done this before. We've seen this. We saw this with the 2023 Florida Panthers. He did lose his starting job early in the playoffs back to Sergei Bobrovsky. But we saw here the Sabres made the switch from Luukkonen, and you could make the case that that was a premature hook by Lindy Ruff over one bad period from Luukkonen. Mm-hmm. And it's turned out to be the move that has made the playoffs so far for the Buffalo Sabres, to the point where if Alex Lyon gets torpedoed in one of these games, I don't know that they're rushing back Luukkonen out there necessarily.
No.
You know, I think they're going to let Alex Lyon get another game to play himself out of it if he gets into a trouble spot. That's how good he's been. That's how mature he is as a leader. Although, you know, I love Alex Lyon. I love talking to the guy. But when he dropped on Thursday in his press conference, you know, it just shows he's a Yalie. He's a bit of amorphous blob. He
amorphous blob.
Wouldn't we hear?
We heard some very interesting terms during the press conference today. You know, amorphous blob. Shout out to that Yale education.
Absolutely.
That Alex Lyon got. We found out what I did not know this because this is my first year on the beat. I didn't realize that Zach Benson had lived with Rasmus Dahlin, like boarded with him as an 18-year-old. And Rasmus Dahlin said, he's done some weird things as a roommate. And he goes, oh, God, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, we asked him what weird things. And he's like,
yeah,
I don't
know. Yeah, that's a weird thing. He said, no. And I said, bro, you're up on the podium. Anything goes at this point. What is, there are a couple other, you know, bon mots we heard this afternoon.
Rasmus Dahlin housed a lot of these guys when they're in their rookie year. Casey Mittelstadt lived with Rasmus Dahlin. Benson lived with Rasmus Dahlin. It's common where your older players live with your younger players, live with your older players. Think back to Kevin Adams, the former Sabres GM, who lived with him in 2007, a rookie year, Patrick Kane. So you learn that kind of thing over time in the NHL. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting situation today at the podium. So as we're talking about Rasmus Dahlin, that certainly transitions us very nicely to the news of the day. The NHL announces on Thursday its finalists for the Norris Trophy, and I thought it was going to be a tight call. Rasmus Dahlin, in fact, is one of the finalists, along with Cale Makar of Colorado, along with Zach Werenski of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Rachel, Rasmus Dahlin is just the second finalist for the Norris Trophy in the history of the Buffalo Sabres, Jim Schoenfeld being the other one in 1980. No one has ever won the Norris Trophy from the Buffalo Sabres. And here we are with Rasmus Dahlin, a Norris Trophy finalist and a Masterton Trophy finalist in the same year. And we heard from Rasmus Dahlin Thursday at the podium. What were your impressions of what he thought about the award and just the journey of the season? A remarkable personal story for Rasmus Dahlin.
First off, I don't think he knew that he was a finalist when he stepped on stage.
I asked the first question
in the press conference. He asked me to repeat it, and I did not take it personally because immediately I realized I don't think he was briefed properly to what's going on. And the same thing happened when he was a Masterton Trophy candidate as well. So, but you know, I found he was kind of in the playoff moment. He was asked about everything he has gone through with his fiancée, Carolina, who underwent a heart transplant last year, then told the world in January through social media that she lost a child. And that basically was what alerted her to all the health problems. And she put a beautiful post today in honor of it. And he said, I really don't want to go too far into all of that right now. I'm in the zone. I want to get ready for the playoffs. I definitely think there is meaning in this for him. I mean, God, if you're named one of the three best in the league, That's no joke. That is a huge, huge honor. You're up there again. The Cale Makars and the Ray Borks of the world. That's pretty good company. I think he's focused. I think he's appreciative of it. But the demeanor he gave off to me was, I still got a job to do.
Yeah. And I mean, I think back to, obviously, I've covered him since the day they won the lottery. I was on the Rasmus Dahlin watch right from the combine, from his first trip to the Stanley Cup final for the Vegas-Washington game. And what we saw from Rasmus Dahlin today was the appreciation of his teammates. But think back, Rasmus Dahlin in the COVID year, the shortened 2021 season, had 5 goals, 23 points, and was minus 36. There was some serious misery in Rasmus Dahlin's game back then at his age 20 season.
He endured some bad teams.
And what happened from that season? They finished last overall, and that allowed them to draft Owen Power. So sometimes from bad comes good. The Sabres finished last in Botterill's last season as GM. They drafted Rasmus Dahlin. They finished last in Kevin Adams' first season as GM. They draft Owen Power. And here we are in 2026, and the Buffalo Sabres are in the second round of the playoffs, a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. Rasmus Dahlin's a Norris finalist, just like Victor Hedman told multiple members of the Buffalo media, including me, over time in recent years, that someday Rasmus Dahlin will get there. And we often used Victor Hedman of Tampa as a milepost for Dahlin, not because of the connection being from Sweden, but Victor Hedman, if you look up his stats and the things he went through his first 3 or 4 years in the league, he was not Victor Hedman, the captain of the Lightning. He was struggling young defenseman, just like Rasmus Dahlin. You got to be patient with defensemen. It takes until they're 23, 24, 25 for them to really find their game. And here we are now. Rasmus Dahlin, next month, we'll find out if he wins that Norris Trophy. But that's a big feather in the cap for everyone associated with the Buffalo Sabres to have him named as a finalist.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the mention of Jim Schoenfeld. We just passed Jim Schoenfeld Day from the 1988 playoffs. The anniversary of that
Have another donut.
I will say this. Jim Schoenfeld was my old neighbor in Annapolis, Maryland, when he was coaching the Washington Capitals. We were never allowed to mention donuts around.
And in that video, you can see the Devils' Natalie attired PR man at Jim Schoenfeld's side trying to grab him and keep him out of the way. It is the late, great Larry Brooks, who became the famous columnist of the New York Post. And he was the
Devil's PR guy
in 1988. And Larry, of course, passed away early this season. But he lives in that video forever, trying to keep Jim Schoenfeld away from Don Koharski. So there's no issues.
I think that's our pop culture moment today.
Yeah. No issues with officiating thus far in this series. I'm sure there will be.
No.
Game two, Friday night, 7 p.m., KeyBank Center on TNT. And then things shift to the Bell Center in Montreal. And, boy, if we've both been to the Bell Center. I've been to the Bell Center many times. No one in the Buffalo media, other than I think Paul Hamilton, has ever been to the Bell Center for a playoff game. The Sabres haven't been in one there since 1988. So I don't know what we have in store coming up starting with Game 3 on Sunday. But I'm sure in your rookie season, you're looking forward to the Bell Center playoff edition.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. It was wild when I was there for two regular season games. I had a great time. I love when you walk in to pick up your credential and guy behind the counter, I said, "Hey, I've never been here before for a game." He says, "Well, welcome to the Mecca of hockey." Those people take it so seriously up there. I mean, you just look at the crowded media room of the Canadian media, particularly the Montreal media, the last 2-3 days here in Buffalo. That doesn't even scratch the surface of the passion and the fanaticism of hockey in Montreal.
So stay tuned for all the coverage at BuffaloNews.com and in the Buffalo News print edition. Rachel and I, like we said, will both be on the road to Montreal this weekend. But first, game two, Friday night, 7 p.m. on TNT. Be there. Be at your TV. Be at your computer reading the Buffalo News and BuffaloNews.com. For Rachel Lindsay, Sabres beat reporter, this is Mike Harrington. Thanks for watching and listening.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.